Blog Talk Radio.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Hey there, all you grizzly ghouls out there. Wow, this is an interesting evening so far. It's been absolutely nutso. And first off, I like how that's, I know we had a little bit of a delay there, about 3 or 4 minutes. I'm not sure how long that was. Blog Talk was like kicking us off, wouldn't let us come on, wouldn't let us start our show. They're probably finally had a talk with our producers who despise us so much and decided to take us off the air. But hey, you know what, whatever. But oh my God, it's been an insane week. It has been absolutely nuts, and we've been getting lots of letters, lots of things in about last week's show, which we did about Waverly Hills. So let's start this off, guys. Get you nice and rolled in. I know you guys freaked out for a second thinking that the Gordo Variety Hour is not airing tonight, but yes, we are, guys. So I just like to say, on behalf of the GG Studios, welcome. So yeah, you're sitting here with Gordo. Yeah. Don't go anywhere. Just sit there. Okay? Yeah, good stuff. Now, I know that Ghostbusters Demon Hunter wasn't airing tonight, so you guys couldn't catch us on there. So I know that kind of throws off the evening, because you know, you're used to your nice little chunk of Ghostly Talk, G&D, and then the Gordo Variety Hour. So I know all you cool cats out there were kind of wondering what was going on, what we're doing. We're just all drunk. That's what it is. Everyone was drunk. They're laying in the streets. There's really no explanation for it. That's why there was no show. No, I'm kidding. And Nathan's probably going to fire me. But that's all right. Anyway, my producers are like, oh, no, we're being sued by the G&D hour. No. They love us. But, yeah, I know. It's been crazy. Like I said, G&D wasn't on tonight. I'm not sure about Ghostly Talk. I was actually out of touch for that, so I'm not sure if they aired, if they were live, what was going on. And then all of a sudden, we ran in here. We were set to go. All the mics were running. The switchboards were lit. The producers were actually not swearing at us. It was a great time. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, we Blog Talk just basically kicked us off. So I don't know, guys. It was nuts. And then the producer starts swearing. And then I was like, you know what, just play the damn music, all right? Just play the music, all right? I don't get paid enough to deal with swearing producers, okay? It throws me off. So anyway, and Tech Yen is like coughing up all the young. He's getting old. That's what it is, guys. That's how we lose our, it's like shedding skins. We're like snakes over here. We shed our young years by, there he goes again. Are you going to be okay? Do we have to disassemble the show this evening?
I think I might have picked up the plague for sure.
I think you did. Or the White Death. We were talking about Waverly Hills. Now you have tuberculosis.
Oh.
Jesus, get out of here, man. I don't need to catch it. He seriously did, guys. He caught tuberculosis. No, oh my God, guys. Well, like I said, it's been a nuts week. You know, we had so much going on. I brought you, you know, I always bring you news about the horror industry, remakes, things going on. Don't really have anything for you right now. I got something extra special instead of me just telling you, oh, there's a remake of this movie, or this guy's doing this, or this guy's beating off to Jason, whatever. No, guys, I actually got something real special for you tonight. We have Stephen Wozniak from, what's that movie? What? Oh, yeah, Chaos. Chaos, yeah. Yeah, that's what it's been in the studio right now. Chaos, yeah, yeah. I'm cursing at the back at the yeah. You want pizza? Yeah. I don't think you did. Yeah. I don't know. We need new producers. Do I put applications out? How do I get new producers? Hello. Is there anybody out there?
Maybe just hang a sign.
Do I hang a sign? Help wanted. New producers. I don't know. Do you? I like the studios here. It's great. It's great. But yeah, I don't know. I don't like the abuse. You know. Okay, so what did I tie them up and hit them? But it's, this is a different story. No, anyway, guys, so like I was saying, got something special. We got a great guest for you tonight. Hopefully Blog Talk will let us have a guest. I'm not sure with the way the technology's been going tonight. I'm not sure what's going on. It's been all crazy and stuff like that. But insanity as usual at the GG Studios. I mean, we're used to this kind of stuff. But anyway, it's been absolutely nuts. I don't know what's going on. I got a bunch of letters last week in response to our show. We did a Waverly Hills show. It was actually like, you know, I did a bunch of horror stuff, and then I talked about Waverly Hills. It was kind of like, you know, the whole death tunnel tuberculosis thing. I don't know. It was a death tunnel full of tuberculosis, if you will. But got so many letters because we got cut short last week. You know, guys, I was getting into these stories. I mean, there's just so much to tell you. You know, there's so much more history to say. And then, like, you know, no, it's okay. I got a replacement. I thought ahead, but Techie's like, I guess I'll pick your friend up. Yeah, I got a replacement one. So I didn't want that to happen again last week. No, the fans are like, what are they talking about? Yeah, we're on the crack. We're on the crack as usual. No, I remember, if you guys remember, like, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago? I don't even remember what show it was. The shows are blurring together for me. That or I'm drunk. I don't know. But anyway, I dropped my pen. I was like, oh, I can't do the show anymore. I dropped my pen. It's hopeless. It's over. I'm done. So anyway, I just dropped my pen. Techie had picked it up, but I have like a box of replacements here just in case. Because you know I can't speak without a pen in my hand. I don't know why. I don't know why. It's just weird. It's like blondes and chewing gum. They can't do both. You know, they just can't walk and chew gum. It's a crazy thing. Apparently, I can't speak and have, you know, not have anything in my hand. I don't know. And that kind of left it open for people's imaginations to run wild. But hey, whatever. So anyway, we ran out of time last week because, God, guys, Waverly Hills was nuts, guys. I mean, so much history. There was so much paranormal activity there. I mean, I gave you guys the whole lowdown on what happened. I gave you guys the ghost stories. I gave you guys the rumored ghost stories. I told you guys what happened when I went paranormal investigating there. And what's funny is I didn't get all the stories out. So we had been getting letters. I haven't gotten emails. I got, you know, hit up on the MySpace a few times about, oh, my God, I wanted to hear the rest of your stories. I want to hear the rest of your stories. And I'm like, what? I did a show last week? What are you talking about? What is this? What is this crap that I'm getting? No, so I don't know, guys. I mean, we'll probably have to save it for another night because I definitely want to get, you know, a Waverly Hills expert on, and we'll hash it out. You guys can have all your Waverly Hills love and whatever. And plus, guys, if I'm in your area, I do some appearances from time to time in different cities. Actually, that's where I usually am, traveling and booking up with appearances. So I do share my stories when I go out. So if you guys are, you know, around, there's a convention going on, come see us, man. Come see me. Come see, you know, Bonnie and Shawnee and, you know, the whole gang. See Ghostly Talk and Ghostman Demon Hunter. We're usually all at the conventions hanging out, you know, sharing all the paranormal info and the hip and the know. And I don't know. Apparently I might have a pen. I don't know what's going on. So anyway, we have so many crazy things going on, guys. But it's just, you know, I usually tell the stories. We all usually get in, tell some ghost stories, you know, sitting around a campfire kind of thing. So definitely check those out, guys. That's all I got to say. But, you know, I definitely, you know, I don't want to waste time. We're kind of thrown off because of the tech thing. We're, like, waiting for it to tell us you cannot do a show anymore. Ding. But, no, we got a great guest on, guys, today. And I definitely want to get that in. I know how you guys, like, crave it. You guys go absolutely ape for these guests. No, they really don't, but that's okay. No, so I got to say. But I don't know what's up with G&E. I don't know why we're off tonight. And I don't know. I'm serious. I think it was the drugs. We did too much. And
it's
wearing off on us all. I don't know what's going on. No, seriously, guys. Like I said, this week has been crazy. We've been getting ready. Mid-South is coming up. I don't know how many of you are going. You all better be going because Gigi's going, all right? That's all I could say. But we're going, guys. Mid-South is coming up. It's the last weekend of September. It's the 26th, 27th, 28th. It's going to be a huge convention, Louisville, Kentucky. It's thrown by the cool, cool guys at LGHS, Louisville Ghost Hunter Society, led by Keith Age. You get some Bobby T in there. What's up, Bobby T? Miss you, guy. But we'll be seeing them at Mid-South. And like I said, there's going to be so many guest celebrities. There's going to be, people doing seminars and speaking, and there's going to be slideshows, and there's going to be profanity and nudity and sex, drugs, rock and roll. It's all there, guys. You got to go to Mid-South. So it's going to be absolutely nuts. You're going to get to see everybody. Ghostly Talk's going to be there. Ghost Man, Demon Hunter. Well, I'm not sure if Demon Hunter's going to be there. I don't remember. But, we're all going to be hanging out down there. It's going to be a great time. So you definitely got to check it out. I don't care what you got to do. Somehow get down to Louisville. It's going to rock. It really is, guys. It's going to rock. But anyway, I'm digressing. We definitely want to get our guy on because I don't know what's going on here. It'll probably shut off and God knows what happens. But definitely want to get him on. So we're not going to be wasting a bunch of time tonight. Do we ever waste time? Oh, yeah, that's every week we waste time. Every week we waste time. So, guys, I'm going to finish my story last week from Waverly Hills because I've been harassed about this. I'm going to finish this story real fast. Then what we're going to do is we're going to go to break a little bit early, and we're going to come back on, and we're going to have our guest, okay? So just letting you guys know the game plan so you're not thinking that we're going to bail on you, shut the mics off, and be like, that's it, we're done tonight. We're just done. That's it. I don't care. So no, it's going to be like that. So let me finish this Waverly story real fast, all right? I was talking about, okay, I was up on the third floor. I had the shadow person, happen to me. I had the shadow person speak into my ear, things like that. We got a bunch of EVPs there. We did a temperature test with Chris Fleming, and it was awesome. Totally, we were telling it, I don't even know what the exact temperature was offhand. It was like, I don't know, it was like 85 or something. And we're like, can you drop that 30 degrees? And, boop, 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 it would drop 30 degrees. We'd say, can you hold it there for like 30 seconds? It would. And then we'd say, can you bring it back up to 85? Boop, 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 boop. And it's not like it was Chris Fleming's machine either, guys. I mean, I could easily sit here and say, yeah, we rigged it. We rigged Chris's and, fooled everybody. No, everybody there had their own equipment and they got to try it and they did the same thing. So, and it wasn't like we hit one cold spot. We weren't in an area where it was just, it's just this cold spot right here. And if you move over a little bit, you're going to hit this 30-degree drop. No, guys, we were spread out pretty much in the hallway. I mean, there was no explanation for it. Then, of course, we did the ball test, which everybody knows. I told you that there was kids at Waverly Hills. I mean, it was a sad thing, the whole tuberculosis. There was the kids there at Waverly. They put them up usually to play in the solarium. They had a swing set and all that stuff. And, trying to see if the heliotherapy with the sun would cure the bacteria or whatever. So, I mean, there was kids there. And, of course, kids died there. I mean, they weren't exclusive. This wasn't an exclusive disease that only took, like, adults or only took males between the ages of 40 and 43. No. This was an indiscriminate disease, took everybody of race, occupation, sex, everything, guys. So a few kids died there, but there's a so-called this story that if you, put a red rubber ball in the middle of the floor and you just sort of tape it, or some people try to invoke spirits. There's so many different ways that people try to do this. Supposedly, either it'll start rolling on its own or it'll roll to you. I think one person said that they actually, were rolling the ball back and forth with somebody that wasn't there. So, I mean, there's so many different versions of the story. But anyway, we did that when we were there, just to see. It's a kitschy thing. It's the kitschy test that everybody does. We were there. Why not do it, right? So we did it, and it everybody else was trying it. Nothing was really happening. It was kind of dull. Okay, no big deal. So I'm just sitting there, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't think this is going to work. This is a kitschy test. Nobody cares. I don't care. I mean, I'd rather go do the EVP. I just got shadow people. I had some crazy crap happen to me. I'd rather go get more of that stuff than play with a ball, right? So I'm sitting there, and I'm not really paying attention. And nobody was having any luck. I'm like, why not I try it? So I get down there, and I can't remember everything I did now. But I just started talking. I have no idea why. Just started talking as if I was talking to a kid. And, talking to my niece or talking to some of my younger cousins or whatever. Just talking, just chatting like nothing was wrong, hey, yeah, whatever, shooting the breeze or whatever. And I don't know, at some point when I was talking, like I was blabbering on, more than I'm blabbering on now, which is surprising, I suppose. But I was blabbering on, and all of a sudden the ball started to move, like ever so slowly. And I thought, oh, it's just me, right? I'm imagining it, or it's a wind. I mean, it's something. It's got to be something. There's got to be a logical explanation for it, right? Because as ghost hunters, you know that we look for that first. There's got to be, if there's, you know, you only go to a paranormal conclusion or an unexplained conclusion or whatever you want to call it, if there's absolutely no way, shape, form, philosophy, science, anything that could have caused whatever happened to happen. So we all search for the logical. I'm like, oh, I was just, you know, I'm imagining it. Well, like five other people saw it. And I said, eh, whatever, you know, I wasn't looking too deep into it. So I just kept talking. And then I kept asking it to do things. All of a sudden, the ball seriously started to roll, started to, like, move as if somebody was just spinning it with their hands. And I'm just like, interesting. I'm like, okay, I'm not imagining this. I know that for sure. And everybody else that was around there was taking pictures. They were taking video. It was some crazy stuff. I actually had a friend. My best friend went ghost hunting with me. And she actually saw a full-bodied apparition, and this is the creepy story, which I like to tell everybody. So I'm going to tell this real fast, and then we're gonna get going because I want to get Steven on. He's a really cool cat, and you guys will love him. So anyway, we went upstairs. We're on, like, the fourth floor, I think, and we decided we're split up. All of us are going to go into a different patient room and sit down, and Chris Fleming was going to try to invoke some of the spirits. So we're like, okay, this could be kind of cool, you know. So I don't know, there's probably 13 of us or something. And so we each pick a different room, right? And we're sitting there, and we have our equipment out. So Chris is trying to invoke spirits. He's in the hallway, you know, where everybody can hear us. And the rooms at Waverly, there's no way that you could just go in and out and sneak in and out, okay? These rooms are small on the fourth floor. And, like, if somebody were to walk in the room, you could see them. It's not like they could slip in I'm behind a pillar. You wouldn't know. Four walls, that's it. There's no furniture in Waverly, you know. That's it. That's what you see. And there's moonlight in there, so it's not like pitch black where, you know, you couldn't see hardly anything. I mean, you can hardly see, trust me, but you'll know if somebody's in there with you. So she's sitting there, and we decide, okay, nothing's happening, right? Nothing happens to any of us. So Chris goes, well, come on out, you know, come on out, and you know, we're going to end this test. Okay, fine. So we all gather our stuff up. So I go out there, and I'm kind of like, well, wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm like, wait, we're missing somebody. We're missing my best friend. I'm like, where'd she go? So all of a sudden she comes walking out, and we're all just kind of milling around, no big deal. Comes walking out of the room, hysterical, like seriously ready to throw her equipment down and run out the front doors of Waverly. Like seriously done. She's like, I'm giving up ghost hunting. I'm done. That's it. I'm through. Leave me alone. That's it. Just pacing back and forth psychotically, like it, almost in tears or sweat and just, she was hysterical, and there's a little bit of a shake to her, and, I mean, my friend doesn't shake easy, guys. So I go, oh, my God, what happened, you know? Well, she said she was in there, nothing had happened. She went to gather her equipment, and as she hit her flashlight, the beam rolled across the floor. You know, the flashlight's rolling, so the beam's moving. And as the beam moved, it stopped on a pair of legs in dark gray slacks with, like, grayish-black boots or shoes or whatever, you know, they wore back then. And, she said the beam just rolled, and it landed on, and she could only see from the knee down, just the gray slacks and the shoes, and all of a sudden, as soon as the beam hit it, it stood there for like 2 seconds and then walked out of the beam. And she gathered her crap, ran out of the room light speed, and that's when I ran into her and tried to calm her down. And I mean, guys, how freaky would that be? That freaked me out a little bit. Because you're just like, eh, whatever, and all of a sudden you see, like, you know, freaking janitor stand there, you're like, oh my God! It was insane. So it was good stuff. But those were the Waverly stories. There's so many more, but I'm not going to get into them. There's so many more that other people have that I was going to get into last week, but we ran out of time. But you know what, guys? We definitely want to get our guests on. Some good stuff. So what I'm going to do right now is we're going to go ahead and go to break, and we're going to get him on, and we're going to talk a little bit about the horror film that has been shocking the nation, Chaos. So stay tuned, guys.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Listen to Darker Side of the Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit our website at darkersideradio.com.
From horror movies to the paranormal, we cover it all.
It's a spooky, weird, and zany kind of show.
With your hosts,
Laura Moon
and Becky Ray.
Don't miss it.
I say, Sean B., I've been thinking about all the things necessary to produce a proper paranormal broadcast.
Do tell, Nathan S., what are these vital qualities?
Empathy, commitment, quiet dignity, and self-respect.
Indeed! What a shame we don't have any of those traits!
Oh yeah, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's drive-time paranormal broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostandhumans.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week we'll be bringing you the best and the worst kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter. Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Standard time.
www.ghostanddemon.com. The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show is beyond the normal broadcast.
Ha ha! That was our cool cats from Ghost Man and Demon Hunter. And of course, the lovely Lazy the Dark. Lazy? They call them Lazy. Look at this. Yeah, now they're going to kick my ass in the dust. No, the lovely ladies from Darker Side of the Moon Radio. I love you girls. Can't wait to see you there. We're going to have a great time. A lot of celebrity guests. But now, guys, this is the time you've been waiting for, all right? Everybody's been tuning in to hear this. And I'm not going to delay it any longer. I should just to make people, just to torture people.
It would
go in theme. But anyway, we're not going to do that. I have with us, guys, a very cool cat, and I'm so excited to talk to him. And I hope I got the last name right. It's Stephen Wozniak?
Wozniak.
Oh, yeah. Hey. What's going on, Stephen? And you are from the movie Chaos. So I am so glad to have you on board for the GG Hour.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Do you really, or are you just lying to us?
No, I appreciate it. Hey, I like to, you know, it's funny. I get asked a fair number of questions about this movie because of its long lineage and connection to movies like Virgin Spring and Last House on the Left. I also get a bevy of questions about me because of my last name and the fact that it's the same name as the founder of the Apple computer. So I get hit all the time, and I love to explain the truth of it instead of allowing it to get kind of piled up. And what is it really?
We're all questioning. We're like, it really is the guy that made the computers.
Yeah, really? Is it that heady, bearded guy who lives in Cupertino, California? Is really nerdy and made billions on, you know, personal computing? No, it's not. I hear there's a tenuous connection between us, but I've never met the guy. So I think that's just kind of the great wishes of my Uncle Richard, who thinks they're related. So I don't know. Maybe
just keep it going. Don't deny him it. You know, just keep it going.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's great to have you on. I mean, okay, I have to admit, you know, I have not seen Chaos. You know, I had heard of it. I was kind of like, you know, because I get swamped with you know, all these horror movies that come out. You know, do this, do that.
Absolutely.
So I was like, okay. Well, I started to do a little research on it because, you know, I had heard of you. And I'm like, all right, let's check this out. My God, I cannot wait to see this movie. I'm shaking right now. You can ask my tech
guy. It's strong stuff.
It's got the tagline, the most brutal movie ever made. I mean, seriously, I'm like, what is going on here? I'm like, did we just discover Jack the Ripper Part 2? I mean, what's happening over here?
Well, tell me,
what is Chaos about? Tell everybody. We have to know.
Chaos is, you know, the producers may say otherwise because for legal reasons, but it largely follows the storyline of Ingmar Bergman's The Virgin Spring, which came out about 40-something years ago, and that was followed by the infamous Wes Craven true crime horror movie, The Last House on the Left, which is, just to quickly summarize it, it's about these two girls who are kind of, I don't know, about to approach adulthood, and they take a vacation in a remote mountain area and are accosted by a group of kind of wayward sycophants who do some really horrible things to them in real time, and it's not really about complex storyline. It's really about kind of visceral, you know, real-time stuff that makes you kind of squirm in your seat and, you know, kind of go, oh, my God, you know, does this really happen? Or how does it happen? Or do I need to see this for as long as I do? And some people have their eyes, you know, glued to the screen, and some people have their arm covering their head the entire time they watch it. So it's you know, people accept it or reject it for, you know, their own reasons. Anyways.
Well, it's kind of funny that you segued into that because you were talking about people rejecting it or embracing it. And,
yeah.
I mean, obviously getting caught up in the chaos, you know, extravaganza, I guess you could call it,
yeah.
I stumbled across the Roger Ebert spectacle.
The review, yeah, it should be.
And I mean, I don't know if people were familiar with this, but Chaos was actually reviewed by Ebert, and he called it like completely cruel and nihilistic, and just, you know, he was warning people to stay away from it. And then the producer and the director actually wrote in retaliation and said, hey, you know, I think you're giving it a bad rap. Look at it this way. And so then Ebert came back and actually read his retort. And I kind of laughed. I have some things to say about that. But, I mean.
Yeah, please tell me. I mean, I'm, you know, it's like I think actually Ebert has some really good points. I don't agree with all of them, but I kind of understand where he's coming from. And, you know, that's, he has a right to have an opinion about him. I respect him highly and have followed his reviews for years and years. So,
I do.
But what's your take on that? I just cut you off. You're about to say something.
No, that's fine. You're the star here, man. We're you know, grilling you here.
No, I'm just a guest who's in a movie. That's it. Or a few, I guess a few.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting controversy. I mean, it emerged with him first. It started with his review. He did see it in Chicago, I believe, at, I think it was Chicago Comic Con or something like that.
End of 2005?
End of 2005, yeah. End of 2005, he saw it and was, you know, compelled to watch it, repulsed, and all the kind of contradictory kind of descriptions that he provides in his review. And it's like for hardcore horror people who see that, who maybe either don't have the attention span or the patience to kind of get through, you know, any film review, or don't want to kind of taint their viewing with the review. In the first four or five sentences, if they read something like, don't watch this movie, what can you guess is the first thing you want to do?
Exactly. I mean, it's the same
thing. They want to watch the movie.
Any publicity is good publicity, pretty much. But
well, I mean, and that specific point really does say, I mean, you know, kids are into horror or in a certain way, or, you know, they're reacting against stuff they don't like. You know, if it's strong parenting or, you know, being in school, or who knows, whatever. And it's like you tell someone to do something, they kind of do the opposite. So he had no idea what he set up, because it did kind of set off a chain of events, not just driven between, you know, kind of the marketing efforts of the producers, but also amongst people who follow that kind of stuff. So,
well, definitely spread word of mouth. I was looking at this, I'm like, oh my God. And that's how I had heard of it, was just I had heard it through word of mouth. I'm like, oh, well, I don't know, you know. And you don't know. So many indie horror films come out, and you're like, oh, guys, it's another piece of crap. You know, what is this? So you're kind of like, I don't know. But, I was reading Ebert's review, and I totally agree with, like you said, certain points. Because, you know, there are certain things that he had hit upon that, yeah, they're just truths for movies, you know. They're just things that, you know, about human nature or about film in general that are just accepted. You know, they're just things like that. But I was looking at it, and I'm like, well, you're missing a key point. Whether or not that you've seen the film doesn't even matter. It's just that he was saying that, you know, this is, you know, cruel and nihilistic and they'll watch it and blah, 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 and it lacks this and that. And he's looking for hope, and he's looking for that safe ending. He said he doesn't need a happy ending. He just needs, you know, that sort of something to tide you over. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, well, what if this was one view of that, you know, the killer Chaos Cooper, that's the killer in the movie, the main guy, right? I mean, what if this is just one of his kills? What if this was like watching...
Well, that's the thing. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the point of the movie.
Like,
and, you know, they,
we're not watching all of Bundy's kills. What happened if we just watched one of Ted Bundy's kills? You're not going to have hope at the end. If you're just watching this one section, you know, you're not watching the whole thing. Like, we're at the, you know, at the end of his life, he might get caught and you'll revenge taken upon him. You're watching one tiny sliver of some crime that he had committed. So I think that Ebert missed that point, that, you know, we're not watching an entire, you know, thing about Ted Bundy's life. We're watching one kill of Bundy or something, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's sort of like, you know, this holds no room for hope or, you know, for art, you know, because serial killers don't hold room for art or hope. Seriously, if you think about it. And it's like documentary style. It pays homage to exploitation films in the 70s. So, I mean, whether or not I saw it or not, I was like, you have to
You
have to leave it.
I'm very savvy for not having seen
sliver
it.
Of hope. You know, you have, not hope so much, but you have to leave it that sliver of okay, this is how I'm watching it. I'm not going in expecting to see Free Willy 3. You know,
this is
what you're watching. You know, you're watching something. And I don't think people are going to go see it thinking, I'm going to go watch it because it's going to be a great film on human psyche and how to deal with tragedy. I mean, yeah, that's great with Greek tragedy.
Right.
But I don't know if you agree with this, but wouldn't it be almost like watching it and sort of just to see, wow, how sadistic somebody can be and just how far the human psyche can be stretched and pulled and just how maniacal people can be. We don't need an answer. We don't need an alibi. It's just insanity, plain and simple.
The title says it all, you know. It doesn't say murder explained. The title is chaos.
We're going to dissect this and tell you why he was bad.
Exactly.
They were saying that you guys were embracing evil and that you weren't showing it, you know, that he was saying that you should show evil, but also show how people, you know, react to it and what you think about it. What about just evil that happens? We're not reacting.
Yeah, exactly.
Shock going, God, that just happened, you know?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I think he was a little too harsh. I do agree with some of his points, but I think he didn't leave any room to actually examine it.
I think he was wild. I'm not going to say what these portions are because A, I want you to watch it, Sabrina. Because how dare you do an interview without watching the movies? But there are a couple of points that he takes personal offense to, and I know what they are. If you know anything about his life, you'll kind of see why. There's a character who has a particularly brutal death, and it's not like this thing happened to his mom or anything like that, but it's just kind of, I can see where some of the personal kind of bled into what should otherwise be a less than subjective kind of review of a film. But, you know, no review is ever less than subjective, so what can I hope for?
You're having somebody dissect a film, you know? It's kind of like, all right.
That's okay, but you know what, though? You know, Dan Geyer from the Chicago Herald loved it, which is also a well-respected, you know, newspaper right down the street from there.
I absolutely thought he was great, so I say, hey. Besides, I think the fans know that my thoughts on Ebert, I think he's great at reviewing some things, but I don't think he's very good at reviewing horror films.
It's not his thing.
That's what I'm saying. I always have said that for years. I'm like, Ebert, just stay out of the horror film industry. Do us a favor.
Yeah, I know. He's looking for, you know, I don't know what he's looking for, you know, Barry Lyndon inside of chaos. I don't know what he's looking for.
You said, murder explained. That's what he's looking for.
You
know what? I'm kind of curious now. I mean, I'm not going to say anything, but, what if this is, he somehow relates to this on some other level? This is why he really gives bad reviews on horror films, because it's him himself. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
I'll just say
Strangler.
What's that?
We just labeled Ebert as the Chicago Strangler. So.
No. He's too much of a shut-in for that, I imagine.
Tell me what you play Frankie in the movie, and you're part of Cass Cooper's gang. So, I mean, without revealing too many plot twists, I mean, what exactly is your role in this? How do you fit into Chaos?
It's one of the leads. It's kind of Kevin Gage's left-hand guy. Kevin Gage plays Eddie Cass Cooper, and Kevin's the alpha leadership who doesn't really have enough, he has enough life experience, but not quite the, kind of the book smarts to make sense of what he does. And my guy is not particularly smart at all, maybe even less so than him. And he kind of aspires to be what that guy is. You know, he kind of pokes in with really kind of mired, screwed up voice of reason. He tries, but it doesn't work very well. And what he says isn't particularly, salient or really does get the point home, and which is part of why there are a bunch of screw ups. But he's a pretty big guy. He kind of follows suit and does the things that Chaos does, and eventually tries to make their way out of the deep hole that they've dug themselves. So
I should kind of think that you're ugly and nihilistic now? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, listen to our viewers.
Great, Stephen, great.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm shaking now. I'm scared.
There you go.
That's great. I mean, like I said, I've been dying to see this movie now, and you know, you guys got a lot of MySpace rep going for it. I've heard a lot of people talk about it. Now, obviously, you guys are still promoting it. What are, as far as you know, the future plans for Chaos?
Well, I mean, it had a limited city theatrical run a few years ago in New York and Chicago and Portland and Houston and Los Angeles, and got around and made it on the DVD about a year later, and that run actually ran out. The company that released it, Razor Digital, they did a run, and it sold out. And if you go on eBay, I mean, you can find them for like $100 or something like that, because people are interested in it in a weird way. And I think it's going to get another re-release soon. It's getting a foreign release on DVD within the next month, you know, before Halloween. I think there's going to be a Czech and a German release and a few others. And I think that's going to be enough. I think amongst the purposeful, smart horror fans who are going to pay attention to the new extras on it, they'll probably say, hey, America, where it originated from, you know, you guys should get this out. So in the interim between that release and our last release that, you know, didn't have its kind of run, there's been a couple of short theatrical runs, and we had one in Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago at a Revival House that they did pretty well. And so there is, you know, they've been talking about trying to do a prequel to the movie with myself and Kevin Gage and a new character. There's a story that was written alongside the original writing of this that kind of they were going to kind of use as flashback material, and they decided, well, we might want to make a movie out of it. But the director is in the process of doing some directing some action movies that are going to be shot in I believe in Canada. Is going to be tied up with those probably for the next year or so. He's doing some with a company called Grindstone, which is, I guess, selling them directly to Lionsgate. So when he's doing that and done with that, we're probably going to go back and do a prequel sometime late next year, we hope.
Wow, look at that. I mean, obviously I have to catch up, because now we're doing prequels. There's going to be action figures of you. I got to jump on now. God, I feel so...
I hope they look good enough to play a younger version of myself. And we shot it over 5 years ago, so...
Okay, well, I have to say, in response to that question, yeah, I think you're doing okay in that category. That's, pretty good. I have to tell the fans who have not seen Steven, you need to go to his website, which I'm going to put up because there's shots of him on there, guys. I don't know. All I'm saying is I don't know. I was like, wow. I was like, okay.
You know, you just can't talk about it. No, I'm kidding. You can say whatever you want. I'm joking. Say what you want.
No, I'm serious. You are a good-looking man. And as soon as I saw you, though, this is what stuck out to me. I was like, okay, I'm going to do, you know, I did all my research and things as a good radio host would do. I get on your website, and I'm looking, and your first picture pops up. And I went, wait a second. And I'm like, I totally know him. I'm like, why do I know him? And I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm just like, oh, and I was calling, like, everybody over me. I hit my business manager in the room. I'm like, come here. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, tell me. And she's like, oh, my God. And just walked around and says, oh, my God. Like, they knew you, but we couldn't place it. And I'm like, yeah, oh, my God. So I've labeled you the oh, my God guy now.
You're very sweet. I like that. That's really nice, actually.
You were just – and I was
– very generous assessment. I like that. It's nice.
I'll make a T-shirt. That's it. That's all I'm doing.
Oh, my God. With just, like, one of those, like, Xerox of, like, my face from Chaos, which is really, like, gnarly with a baseball bat in my hand and, like, you know, 2 weeks' worth of growth in my face.
That'd be great.
Oh, my God. It's the oh, my God guy.
It's the oh, my God guy. And he's killing people. Oh, my God. No,
rapes, he kills. He does it all.
It was one of those. You have one of those faces, and I checked out your bio, and I'm like, oh God, I know him from somewhere. And there was a couple things that I was like, you didn't even realize. You're like, oh yeah, okay, that's him. And especially, I mean, I'm sure everybody. I don't know. I'm not you. I don't know what happens, but does everybody peg you for the Beyond the Da Vinci Code?
You know, I have gotten that a few times. I've since trimmed my hair. I don't have short hair. I have shaggy hair now.
You don't
but
have Jesus hair anymore? What's up with that?
No. I don't have Jesus hair anymore. I have played, strangely enough, what Sabrina's referring to is Beyond Da Vinci Code, which is a project I did for the History Channel a few years ago, and it kind of counters Dan Brown's best-selling novel, The Da Vinci Code, and talks about, you know, why some of it isn't true, why some of it is. And I played Jesus in that. And within a year before that and the year after that, I played Jesus two more times. Apparently someone else paid attention to it. This guy's got a lock on Jesus Christ. Let's hire him.
Yeah,
so, why
not? Not only are you the
I went on after that very high-minded, you know, double Emmy-nominated kind of showpiece to like doing it on Jimmy Kimmel Live like a year later and before that an Indie Feature. So it's pretty funny. I do. I get pegged as a guy who plays kind of savior figures, messiahs, rock and rollers, sick and psychos, weirdos, and. I think I'm still doing it.
I guess it goes hand in hand. You're a savior and you're the psycho killer savior. I don't know.
They're both wildly misunderstood, you know. You look at some kind of mendicant beggar, you know, street guy with long hair and a beard, you go, he's got, you know, I don't know, tetanus, and if he takes a bite out of me, I'm gonna be in the hospital, you know. Or if you see the same guy on Sunset Strip in Los Angeles with a guitar in his hand, he's a fucking rock god. So, you know, It's all a matter of, you know, how you're looking at it.
See, and it's funny. I mean, because, of course, you know, the Da Vinci Code was a huge thing when the book came out. You know, everybody was picking sides, you know. What do you believe? What do you not believe? What do you dissect?
Yeah.
What do you not dissect? And it's just, it was absolutely nuts. And I do actually recall watching the history.
Slow-mo version of me in a diaper.
Yeah, I do remember.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, my God, no way. So it was just nuts. And I mean, because you know how Hollywood is. There's just so many movies. There's so many roles. And, I mean, if you're, like, in the movie industry, you watch so many movies. And you could pretty much keep everybody like, okay, yeah, that guy did this, that guy did that. But eventually you get so bogged and you're like, I don't even know. You're like, that face,
yeah.
I don't know. But, I totally pegged you. And I was like, oh, my God, everybody has to know this guy. So I'm like, they have to know him. I'm like, that's why we've probably got millions of listeners right now just because you're on. They're like, yeah.
Well, I mean, I think the most response I've ever gotten was from that project in Chaos. And I was on Star Trek once. And it was funny. I got left because I think those came out around the same time. Or there was a rerun or something. And I got letters from no less than like a half dozen families who were like, you know, loved you in the Jesus Project. It was really wonderful and poignant and beautiful and you know, you're such a scumbag alien in Star Trek, and we get an autograph for both. And as one guy asked for an autograph, it was like 1-year-old who doesn't read or even know what a headshot is or anything like that.
I
thought, wow, they want to prepare these kids for the future of, like, you know, a guy from Star Trek and, you know, an apparent savior figure. I thought that was pretty funny.
You know, they're reading your bio to them at night. It's a bedtime story. You know this, right? They're like, you have to know this.
It's so weird, but funny.
So
they're all really very sweet, you know, Christians who like, you know, who love sci-fi, you know, they want a mythology of some kind. So it made sense to get those dual letters at the same time.
Right. So do you do conventions? I mean, do you go around? Do you do some, like, guest appearances, things like that?
Here and there, mostly in Southern California. I mean, I'm based here. I'm not from here originally, but I'm based here, and it's a lot easier to do that. If there's any, you know, kind of big, strong resurgence for Chaos and, you know, and if Equal comes out and that kind of thing, I'm sure we'll go around the country and stuff like that. But, yeah, sometimes I do. Sometimes I
And we'll have to be there, I guess. The GG Hour will have
to
show up and be like, oh, we know he's here. Where's Jesus? We know he's here.
Totally. Yeah, you're in Jesus' corner. Totally.
I will see that.
Take off with caution tape and don't let anybody else in.
And, of course, you were in Psycho Beach Party.
Teeny tiny part in Psycho Beach Party. I played the husband away on leave love interest to Beth Broderick's character. Beth Broderick is on the show Sabrina the Teenage Witch. She played the mom.
Yeah.
And here again, she played the mom of God. I can't remember who it was. Lauren Ambrose. And Lauren is a big part of what is the genesis for the movie. Why she becomes so psycho. Is that she sees me, like, pretty much, like, you know, an inch short of doing it with her mom. So it's a small part, but I guess some people remember that because it's kind of the genesis for what drove her to you know.
I don't know. Everybody loves Psycho Beach Party. Like, you go to the horror cons, and there's always, like, certain movies, like, little cult favorites that never got, you know, really big, but were just, like, hanging on the fans' tongues. And Psycho Beach
Party. It's a fun movie, really smartly written and really well done. I only wish I didn't come in so late because I hopefully would have gotten, you know, more time on the project and a bigger role and stuff like that. And I was so tickled by it when I read the script. I was like, wow, this is really just, wow, I can't believe somebody's doing this, you know. And I guess it started off as a stage play, and that's where you can kind of work out the kinks and something like that. I think it was an off-Broadway play, and then eventually became the little cult hit that it is. But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even dare say that I'm really in the movie, but I do love it, and I like being a part of it, and, yeah, it was a lot of fun. So.
And, I mean, of course, I have to mention this, especially for my tech guy, because he absolutely loves David Bowie, but you played David Bowie. What was it? It was on Broadway, off Broadway?
It was a show that played in some theaters and in a lot of music venues in Los Angeles and Southern California. I had written a screenplay with Angie Bowie, with David's ex-wife, which
wow.
contributed to it. And I was very lucky to get to know her through a guy who actually helped start Bowie in the music business at Mercury Records, a guy named Dr. Calvin Mark Lee, who knew them both intimately. And that's how they met, strangely enough. And I met this guy, and he said, "You should talk to Angie." And I did. And I said, "You know, I started writing a screenplay. I'd love to get some input from you. I'd love to play him one day in a filmic version. And, you know, it's better to get a good script now and get it from the source than try to pretend, you know, I know enough about him to make it happen. You know, and you can pour through tons and tons of source material, and it's never right." So
right.
Angie's an accomplished writer and a really smart person, and in certain ways is kind of as much or more of a genuine article than Bowie is. And that sounds like heresy because I love Bowie. And I wouldn't start it unless I said it, but she's pretty amazing. And so from that, I figured, you know, there's no better way to know about this than the music aspect than to do it on stage. And I was very lucky. I got a guy named Mitchell Sigmund from the band Berlin, a guy named Mike Bassage from Oingo Boingo, and these amazing people who should be doing much better things with their time than playing with me. And we went and did a show, and I went off as you know, Aladdin Sane character, Ziggy Stardust, kind of the early stuff, and we did shows. And some of the shows involved mostly monologue, a little bit of a dialogue about, you know, pieces of his life. And yeah, we're still, you know, I put that kind of on the back burner, but I would like to get back to that at some point and do it. I mean, Bowie still has intentions of producing his biopic at some point. I think he wants to wake up the midnight hour. I think he wants to be decrepit and not nearly like, you know, he was in his time, see, so, you know, I think for obvious reasons, maybe it's not so obvious, but I think, you know, the further you are away from it, the easier it is to do, you know.
Right, right.
You know.
That outside opinion, but, I mean, I think that's fantastic, because I was looking at, you know, you interview people, yeah, they've done a movie, they've done this, but wow, I mean, you know, like I said, Psycho Beach Party is huge in the horror circuit. Everybody loves it. Of course, and then I saw your David Bowie thing, and I was looking into it, and I was like, oh, my God, wow. I mean, you're an accomplished actor, and if you don't mind me saying
so. That's
very sweet. Yeah, I don't usually give credit to, you know, actors. I usually harass them. Don't you
I don't either. I mean, I think actors are really silly sometimes, and myself included, but that's very sweet of you.
I'm like,
that.
What did you do? Bah, I don't care.
Exactly.
Oh, seriously.
I say that about my own work a lot, so if someone else says it, it makes a lot of sense.
See, so we're on this. No, I think you're fantastic, and like, I was looking into it, and that's why I was geared to have you on. It's just, wow, you've done so much. Your palette is just extensive. Just wow. Wow. So.
Well, thank you. Well, there's going to be more to come.
Hour, so.
What's that?
You get kudos from the GG Hour, so.
Why, yeah, thank you very much.
Definitely, but I do have to ask you about Chaos.
Yeah, go for it.
You had mentioned it, and I was actually going to bring it up. You had mentioned that it's relation to Last House on the Left. Was this intentional? Like, what was going here? Because the posters are, like, identical, and
yeah,
you had somebody
yeah.
from Last House on the Left, you know, writing on it, and I mean,
yeah.
it's just, like you said, it's parallels, and was this intentional?
Yeah, I mean, it is, and you know, I'm not the producers and I'm not the writer, but as an actor who has a couple of brain cells to rub together, I mean, you have to be moron not to know that there's a huge overlap between this movie and Last House on the Left. The story's a really simple story, so it's kind of like that's kind of the most famous version of that story. It's existed in a couple of incarnations before and many, many afterwards. So it's like, You're going to get tagged as, you know, as kind of like, you know, part of the spate of imitators that come after that movie because it's the most famous. But the reality is that Ingmar Bergman got a fucking Academy Award for The Virgin Spring. It's pretty
right.
famous. Do you
right.
know what I mean? And this storyline is pretty famous, not just because of that. So that's as much as I'll defend it in saying that, you know, it's not the most important thing to harp on, and it was over 35 years ago. That being said, there's a lot of great things. There's a lot of great things about that movie, and I think there are a few interesting turns in this movie that make you go, "Fuck, this is different. This is," and certainly the ending is different. And I'm gonna put that out there. It is different. It is not the same as the ending of The Last House on the Left. So anyone who thinks it is, they'll be in for a surprise.
I definitely know the ending of this one, and I was pleased. I didn't believe that it should have got the rap that Ebert gave it. And I don't know, just if you look at it from the perspective of what we were talking about earlier, it makes it more interesting in my case, because you're looking almost as if you're looking through the eyes of a serial killer. You're stepping in their shoes for a kill. You know, I mean, that's insane. It's absolute insanity. I mean, and it should chill you. It should make you quiver. It should make you, you know, what did Ebert say? He was highly saddened. It should, because we shouldn't promote that kind of behavior. I mean,
no, and that's the whole idea.
So
I mean, I think that's the thing, you know, it's like, people forget that, you know, it is a tagline. It's only a movie. And it's like, it is a movie. It's not, we endorse murder, or, you know, like I was saying, murder explained. It's a freaking movie, you know?
And whether you like it or not, it is art to some level, because you are showcasing human behavior. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to, you know, tell it. You don't have to, you know, establish a psychosis and cure it. You're simply explaining something that happens that is probably more common now than it ever was. But yeah, I was just wondering about The Last House on the Left, because, I mean, there's so many similarities. And I was wondering, because, you know, you have the critics that say, oh, it's a ripoff. They were purposely doing it just to make some cash. And I was like, well, maybe it was just a smart homage to it. I don't know. You know, so that's why
I'm gonna step up and say, you know, I think it was an homage to it, certainly. There was an early plan to use David Hess, who played the lead role in Last House on the Left, to play the cop.
Oh, wow.
You know, the guy who can't get it right, the guy who's just kind of like, you know, smart ass, racist, can't have his foot in his mouth the whole time, is really kind of too stupid to be hateful enough to do any damage, but still screws things up. And it's kind of the opposite of what he played in Last House, which was his purposeful, kind of, you know, murderous, vengeful guy who was unhappy with, you know, kind of his way in the world. And, you know, a lot of this movie that people don't talk about is that there's a big kind of class struggle that exists in these movies. These people have been told they are the worst of the worst, and they are kind of going after the best of the best to try to level the playing field. And no one likes to talk about that. They like to talk about the slashing and the this and that and the other. Nobody talks about that. You know, in terms of the Vietnam War, in which the first movie was couched, it was an easy thing to see. And now we kind of get in and out of war all the time, and people don't think about it. They kind of wrap themselves in the armor of their day-to-day lives. What did I buy at the shopping center? What do I look in front of the mirror? You know, what do I drive? That kind of stuff. And, you know, in a certain sense, this is, I would dare not say that this movie's poignant, for God's sake, but that it does address those kind of things. And it says, it kind of outright says that. And not a lot of reviews talked about it. You know, I think Dan Geyer did. I think TV Guide may have said a few things about that. I can't remember what else. I can't remember. There were a fair number of reviews. We're very happy to say, but there's a lot of Last House, but there's some other things too. That's what I'm saying.
That's why I can't wait to see it, because, I mean, I had heard all the hype, you know, like you said, the Ebert thing, then I had read the reviews and, you know, heard word of mouth and all this, and checked out the similarities with Last House on the Left, and I was like, you know, it kind of can go either way, and you're like, until you see it. But, I mean, I get what it is, because, I mean, if you're a fan in horror, and like you said, if you're a smart fan of horror, you get the exploitation. You remember what it was like. You remember what the filmmaking was like when Hooper was up, you know, up to bat in the 70s.
And this is one of the last movies shot on 35 millimeter, like it. You know, most of these things are shot on crap home video nowadays.
Oh God, yeah, everyone.
So far, overblown wall to wall gore. I mean, there's a few kills in this, and when they come really hard. And when they don't, they're not there. And I think a lot of people can't handle that, because you kind of have to sit with it, like I said before, in real time. And it kind of bothers people. So, I mean,
so did this disturb you? I mean, does the subject?
Yeah, it does. It does. And I mean, I've seen it a handful of times on big screen. And the first time I saw it, I was with my then fiance, and you know, she jumped out of her skin and just kind of like, you know, they got to walk out of 20% of 900 people at the world famous Cinerama Dome in Los Angeles, and it's not just because they're like, this sucks, it's because like they couldn't like sit in a chair, you know. So it does. It still makes me go, ugh, you know. Sometimes I watch it for just, you know, for the filmmaking aspect, and hey, I should have changed that in my performance, and I do dumb things that actors do, but a lot of times you just go, fuck, what is that, you know?
You're like, oh my God, I was in this.
I can't believe it. Or even in the stuff that's not me, just kind of the reaction of the girls and who had done very little, but I think did pretty well when it came down to that part of the scene, you know, when it came down to the actual kill, the reactions were pretty scary stuff. So,
well, the reviews were unanimous about the acting. Everybody said that they were surprised at how great the acting was, that, you know, they thought the filmmaking wise it was, you know, they had talent, it was, you know, well shot.
We've got Kevin Gage in there too, who's just a fucking great actor, and
yeah.
I'm happy to say a friend of mine, he's amazing and really does galvanize the whole thing. So yeah, you know, it's got stuff, it's got movie legs.
Yeah.
Some of the critics say.
Yeah. Well, we're not gonna get into that because we might label somebody else a Chicago Strangler. But all of a sudden,
yeah,
they have people knocking at my door, like, "What are you doing?" No, but we're gonna have to wrap up. This was
absolutely
awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. And
thank you.
I think everybody needs to know that you are such an accomplished actor. I think you did a great job. I mean, you have such a great, you know, impressive list of things that you've done, you know, between theater and television and movies. And I can't wait to see what you do in the future. I really can.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think the next thing up is a Jim Van Bever movie that's happening later in the year about Al Capone. Jim Van Bever did the Manta Family movie a little while ago. So we're going to work together probably in December.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, we do broadcast from Chicago. So you just said Al Capone. You just hit the right chord with us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We're shooting a feature. Maybe you want to go up there. Maybe we can give you a set visit or something like that.
Yeah, I would love it, Stephen May. You know it. We're there. And definitely,
yeah, yeah,
I'd
yeah.
love to interview you for that because that'd be awesome.
Sure.
Because you got the
to get interviewed too.
You got to get the Chicago style going in there. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, Chicago, of course.
Chicago, the Bears. but thank
well,
you.
Well, Sabrina, thanks again. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Oh my God! And like I said, guys, I'm gonna post everything that you need to know about how to check Steven out, how to check the movie Chaos out, where you can get it. And thank you so much for coming on.
Okay, well, I'll see you soon. Talk to you soon.
All right, thank you, and good luck.
Yeah.
All right, crazy guys, we are down to like less than a minute, my God. So here we go. We're just going to go ahead and end the show. That was an awesome, right? I don't even know. I can't even talk. I'm just so excited. That was awesome. That was great. Despite the technical difficulties, we're fighting them the whole show, guys. But you know what? Ah, we made it. So just want to say thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. And no, we really don't care. We don't care if you listen. Seriously, guys, thanks for sticking with us. We hope you love the interview. I'll give you all the info on the MySpace, which you can check out at myspace.com/GoreGirlShow. Until next week, guys. What was that? What was that thing that I was going to say? Oh, what? If there's villainous news abroad, Gore Girl will be there. Later. Same old place.
Chicago.